boys a drink first. Would you be liking a drink?
I am be liking a drink. I'll take a flagon of porter.
And for you, sir, perhaps a schooner of ale?
We don't have time for a schooner. I'll have a yacht of sherry.
Of course.
And could we see a menu?
No, Harry.
Bring in the menu.
That is your menu?
People round here don't read too well.
Well, I'll have the beef.
How do you want it, sir?
Dead, please.
Now, when does the next coach leave?
Why would I know about that?
Well, this is a coaching inn.
Not that sort of coaching inn. We're a coaching inn in the sense of a training, instructing, or teaching inn. That sort of coaching.
I see.
A point, a plate, and a vocational qualification. That's our motto.
So, how are we to get to London?
I might know someone who could help for the right price.
Which is?
8 shillings, farthing, halfpenny, and a little dance from you both.
How about we call it 9 shillings, half a crown, tuppence, and no little dance?
Done.
Thank you, rough country woman.
A pleasure, smooth town man. Now turn your glance to the corner of the room. Do you see yonder figure?
The silent brooding figure?
No.
The hunched glaring figure?
No.
The sinister shadowy figure?
That's the one.
Ah, yes, the one sitting beneath the brightly painted sign saying, London, get your trips to London here.
Let us approach him. Sir?
So you two gentlemen need to get to London.
We do.
Very well, follow me.
But I haven't had my beef yet.
We followed him outside and down the road before he suddenly diverted his course through a hedge and up a small hill.
Why are we leaving the road?
Roads? Where we are going, we don't need roads.
Why not?
Behold, I recently completed lovely super-smashing Great Western Railway.
At this, he turned towards us, and for the first time, I got a good look at his face. It looked strangely familiar.
Excuse me, but you aren't by any chance related to Professor Francis Sternbeater, whom we recently killed? Because you look just like him.
Oh, no, not at all, for my name is Bernstieter. Emmett Bernstieter.
Thank heavens, because the Sternbeater family have sworn vengeance on me for killing their cousins, the Heartthrashers, and they are also allied to my arch-enemy, Mr. Gently Benevolent.
Well, no need to worry. I'm not a Sternbeater, and I've never heard of this wonderful, charismatic, determined genius you call Mr. Gently Benevolent. You're safe with me, Pippin.
Ah, you know my name.
Is that your name? What a lucky guess.
We boarded the train, and as we took our seats, it pulled out of the station. Immediately, a man started loudly dictating a telegram.
I'm on the train, stop. I'm going into tunnel, so may later back office breaking up, stop.
We rolled along at speeds approaching quite fast, while Mr. Bernstieter explained all about the new railways.
One day the whole of Britain will be covered with railways so that one may safely travel anywhere without the inconvenience of walking or riding or hiring a mute yet strong peasant to carry you.
What an innovative idea.
And it is so comfortable, more comfortable than all the other trains I've ever been on, which is none.
Of course, we're in first class. We have armchairs to recline in and individual servants and bottles of brandy to have.
Are there different classes?
Indeed. Second class is slightly less luxurious. An understuffed sofa and beer you pour yourself and so on. Down to seventh class, where passengers have a metal spike to sit on and buckets of sand for refreshment. In eighth class, you're tied to a rope and dragged behind the train. In ninth, you're locked in a box on the station platform and someone shakes it and blows in coal smoke. And finally, there's tenth class, where you pay threepence and the chief stoker comes round to your home and hits you in the face with a shovel.
How splendid. I think poor people should very much like to be hit in the face with a shovel.
Alas, this noble service is expensive.
How so?
I'm afraid our work is seriously hampered by the legacy of the Great Landscaping Act.
Of course, before the Great Landscaping Act of 1784, Britain had been an entirely flat and rectangular country of landscaping. King George III, in an extended fit of clinical mentalness, had decreed that it needed to be more interesting, and had hired the famous landscape gardener, Destroyability Brown, to add moors and swamps, hills and valleys, mountains and caves. And indeed, the work continues to this day as the government plans.